All right. Well, I'd like to wish all of you listeners a good morning. My name is Corey Jackson. I'm from Powderly, Texas, and I am an assistant pastor at Lakewood Baptist Church. I listen to this podcast every weekday. I've made it a habit to do that, and I've benefited greatly from it. I thank God for it. Certainly am thankful for Brother McVeigh, for his ministry, for his friendship, and just for how God is using him. And I'm honored and I'm grateful for this opportunity to give my testimony and just to tell you what God has done in me and for me. Let me begin by saying I've grown up in church all of my life, and I thank God for it. There's never been a time when I've gotten out of church. God just blessed me greatly to put me into the family that I was born into. I was born into an independent, fundamental Baptist family. We carried a King James Bible, went to church every time the doors were open. It was just the center of our life. That's just how it was. I grew up under a good pastor. He's still my pastor today. He preaches through books of the Bible. He's a doctrinal preacher. He's not into this easy believism movement, never has been. And again, I thank God for that. But unfortunately, there were other outside influences in my life when I was younger that were into this quick prayerism, whatever you want to call it. In fact, looking back on my life, I made three professions of faith growing up, and none of them were made under my pastor's preaching. They were all made under the watch of someone else. When I was 5 years old, I vaguely remember my Sunday school teacher asking us to bow our heads, and she asked, "Who wanted to go to heaven?" Well, of course, I raised my hand, and I remember that she led a few of us in a prayer that we repeated after her, and I was told that I was saved. Now, let me just say, I was 5 years old. Okay, I didn't know what I did. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. Well, fast forward a couple of years. We were in a revival meeting in our church. I would have been about 7 years old. And the guest preacher was telling this story of some people getting into a car wreck and eventually dying. And I remember as he was telling that story, I pictured myself being in that car. And I thought to myself, man, I better make sure that I'm saved. I mean, just in case I'm lost, I better pray again. And so I prayed again. 5 more years passed. I was at a youth meeting in Oklahoma City, and I remember they had all of us sitting around a campfire at nighttime, and they had a preacher that was preaching. And to be honest with you, I really don't remember at all what the preacher preached on. I just remember that he mentioned hell a couple of times. And I'm sitting there looking into this campfire, and I think to myself, what if you're not saved, Corey? I mean, what if you'd go to a place that has fire just like that campfire you're looking at? And that scared me. It shook me. And so I made a third profession of faith. Now, the reason I kept having to make professions was because none of them were real. What all these professions of faith had in common was they were only fear motivated. I was just scared of going to hell, that's it. I was hearing a gospel that was not according to the scriptures. And so what I did was I would get scared and I would make God a means to an end and nothing more. I was just trying to use God as a fire escape, essentially. And so I asked God for salvation. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was asking amiss because I wanted to consume it upon my lusts. There was never conviction over my sin. There was never conviction about who I was before a holy God. And because there was never conviction, there was never repentance. Eventually, I graduated from high school. I moved away. I went to Bible college and got a 4-year degree. And I went to a college where they tried to Greekify everything in the Bible. They didn't really want you to ask doctrinal questions. And folks, I can honestly say I've learned more doctrine from this podcast and from the youth week up there at the Black Creek Baptist Church in Black Creek, New York, than I ever did in 4 years of Bible college. After I graduated, my wife and I got married, and we've been laboring here at Lakewood Baptist Church for about 5 years now. But folks, this is what my life looked like before I had salvation. I was a Bible college graduate, an assistant pastor, a youth pastor, a song leader, and a Sunday school teacher. You say, well, how could you do all of that as a lost man? Well, here's the answer. It was culturally what I knew. It's just how I was raised. I didn't know anything different. If I'd grown up in a drunkard's home, I probably would have ended up being a drunk. You know why? Because it's what I would have known. That's what I would have been exposed to. And God had to show me that. About 2 years ago, the Lord brought Brother Kevin Sheridan into my life. He was looking to start a church in this area. And it just so happened, by the providence of God, that we were trying to find a pastor for a little church north of us, up in Antlers, Oklahoma. And I got to know Brother Sheridan and really started learning a lot from him. And I took notice that he kept referring to this pastor up in New York named John Asquith. And eventually I got curious enough to look up this pastor named John Asquith. And I found a series online that Brother Asquith taught through the book of Romans, and I began to listen to it. And little did I know that God would use that to change not just my life, but my eternity. So I listened to Brother Asquith teach through Romans, and most of what he said, I just never heard before. He didn't really spiritualize anything. It was just line upon line. It was doctrinal. And it was coming from someone who believed that every single English word of the King James Bible is perfect. And that was new to me. I'd never been exposed to that before. There would be many days when I was working here at the church, and I would grab my headphones and I would listen to Brother Asquith teach, and at the end of the day, I would have to run home and look stuff up in my Bible to see if he was telling the truth. Because if he was, I was in trouble because my life was not lining up with what I was hearing. And I kept finding over and over that what I was hearing was the truth. And specifically, God was dealing with me on this thing of repentance. God began to reveal to me that I had never come to repentance. I had never been brought to the end of myself. And for the first time in my life, even though I grew up in church, even though I grew up with the King James Bible, even though I had heard thousands of messages from hundreds of preachers, for the first time something happened. I began to be convicted about my sin. So I made up my mind I was going to examine myself to see if I was in the faith. I remember getting up in the middle of the night sometimes, not being able to sleep well, not having much of an appetite during the day, and I would just pray and read the Bible and beg God to show me if I was saved or lost, just examining myself. I knew that I was a sinner. I mean, I'd heard that 1,000 times before. But up to that point, it was just a fact in my head and nothing more. And now, I'd reached a point where God Himself was beginning to reveal it to me. And folks, when He shows you who you are, you'll know what it is to be absolutely miserable. I kept listening to Brother Asquith teach through Romans, and I remember him making this one statement in particular. This is what he said. Who you are in secret, that is the real you. Now, I'll just tell you, that statement was a dagger in my heart, because I knew how to play the game in front of everybody. I mean, I was good at it. In fact, I was so good at it, I rose through the ranks of fundamentalism and I became an assistant pastor in this culture that I was raised in. But God revealed me to me, and I'll tell you, that was excruciating. Because I knew deep down inside, I was absolutely wicked. I mean, God convinced me my heart was desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. I remember walking into a Walmart during that period of time, and I remember thinking to myself, I've got to be the worst person in this building. I mean, that's just where God had brought me to. And for the first time in my life, I became lost. I'd never seen myself as lost before. Now, I'll just tell you, I tried everything in my power to fight that. I gave God every excuse as to why I was not lost, but I was indeed saved. I pointed to all the good things that I had done, all the preaching, all the singing, but every time I thought I had an excuse, God's Word would shine a light on it and just take that excuse away. And here's what it did. It left me without excuse, speechless, and guilty before a holy God. I came into our church on, it would have been a Wednesday, October the 18th of 2022, and I was just miserable and desperate. I'd spent the last couple of weeks under deep conviction. I tried to hide it from my wife, tried to hide it from my pastor, from other people, and it's hard to live that way. I was having a great internal battle. And I remember wondering thoughts, you know, like, what if my pastor, you know, what's he going to do if I tell him that I'm lost and I need to be saved? Would he fire me and tell me to move on? You know, and looking back, I realize how silly that is. But here was the problem. I was too concerned with what other people were going to do and think. After all, I mean, I was one of the church leaders. I was a preacher. I was a song leader. I taught. What were others going to think if me, Corey Jackson, got saved? And I got to a point where I had to care more about what God said than what others might say or think or do. Because how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So I went and I knocked on my pastor's door to his office and I told him, I said, look, pastor, this is probably going to shock you and I don't even know how to tell you this, but God has been dealing with me about my soul. I do not have salvation. And folks, I'll never forget what he told me. I thank God for a pastor like this. This is what he said. I'm not going to tell you if you're saved or lost. That's between you and God. And I knew he was right. So I went back to my office and I just spent some time on my face, just puking out the wretchedness of my life before God, especially that secret life. And to be honest with you, I didn't know how to get saved anymore. Everything that I thought I knew had just crumbled under the Bible preaching that I had heard from Brother John Asquith. I knew that I'd never been brought to repentance. I knew I needed to repent. And as I was laying there, God brought Romans chapter 2, verse 4 to my mind. Here's what it says. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Right there on the floor in my office, God clearly showed me how long-suffering he'd been with me. He showed me the wretchedness of me and my life and who I was. And when I saw that in comparison to his holiness and his goodness, I just melted. I mean, I broke right there. And God, by an absolute miracle, saved my soul right there. I couldn't find the words to pray. I just believed God. Just agreed with God. And this time, listen, it wasn't about escaping hell. And it wasn't even about going to heaven. I just knew that I was a wretch, and I desired God. I got up from that floor, and I drove home, and I told my wife what happened. That night, we went to church. I stood before the congregation, and I told them God had brought me to repentance. Now, that embarrassed the fire out of my flesh. And it was shocking for our church, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. About a week later, I ended up getting baptized in the baptistry that I had baptized other people in. Glory to God. And you know, there's still some folks in our church that don't really understand how I could have been lost. They don't understand that. And I've had them tell me that. I had him fooled pretty good. And worst of all, I deceived my own self. This is what I tell people. It took me a long time to get saved because it took me a long time to get lost. And you cannot be saved until you get lost. I've heard Pastor Asquith say that there have been very few people saved while listening to his preaching. And if that is true, I am one of those few people. A lost religious sinner in Powderly, Texas, who listened to a preacher from Black Creek, New York, that just believed the Bible, and God used that to reach me. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Folks, salvation is not found in a prayer. Salvation is the person of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the miracle of salvation.